met an empty van coming up the lane and saw a pile of carpets and things lying about on the grass plot beside the porch. It was clear that the cottage had at last been let. I walked past it, and then, stopping, as an idle man might, I ran my eye over it and wondered what sort of folk they were who come to live so near us. And as I looked, I suddenly became aware that a face was watching me from one of the upper windows.
Miss Clary distressed you?
Well, yes, dreadfully. I don't know what there was about it, Mr. Holmes, but it seemed to send a chill right down my back. I was some little way off so that I could not make out the features, but there was something unnatural and inhuman about the face. Well, that was the impression I had, and I moved quickly forwards to get a nearer view of the person who was watching me. But as I did so, the face suddenly disappeared. So suddenly that it seemed to have been plucked away into the darkness of the room. I stood for 5 minutes thinking the business over and trying to analyze my impression.
Was the face of a man or a woman?
I could not tell, but the color was what impressed me most.
The color?
It was of a livid, dead yellow, and with something set and rigid about it.
Jaundice, perhaps?
I think not. It was shockingly unnatural, and so disturbed was I that I determined to see a little more of the new inmates of the cottage.
What may you be wanting?
I am your neighbour. My wife and I live in that house opposite.
Well, for what you want with us?
I see that you have only just moved in, so I thought that if I could be of any help to you in any
right,
way...
Right, aye. We'll just ask you when we want you. Good night.
Annoyed at the churlish rebuff, I turned my back and walked home. All evening, though I tried to think of other things, my mind would still turn to the apparition at the window and the rudeness of the woman.
Did you say nothing of this to your wife?
No. She is nervous and highly strung, and I had no wish that she should share the unpleasant impression which had been produced upon myself.
A wise decision.
I remarked to her, however, before I fell asleep, that the cottage was now occupied. She made no reply. I am an extremely sound sleeper, but I slept much more lightly than usual. Half in my dreams, I was dimly conscious that something was going on in the room, and gradually became aware that my wife had dressed herself and was slipping on her mantle and her bonnet. She was deadly pale and breathing fast, glancing furtively towards the bed to see if she disturbed me. Then, thinking that I was still asleep, she slipped from the room, and an instant later I heard a sharp creaking which could only have come from the hinges of the front door. I sat up in bed, then took my watch from under the pillow. It was 3 in the morning.
Good Lord.
What on earth could my wife be doing out on the country road at that hour?
To what conclusion did you come?
I had sat for about 20 minutes, turning the thing over in my mind, trying to find some possible explanation. The more I thought, the more inexplicable did it appear. I was still puzzling it over when I heard the door gently close again, and her footsteps coming up the stairs. She gave a violent start and a kind of gasping cry when she saw that I was awake. And that cry and start troubled me more than all the rest, for there was something indescribably guilty about them. Where in the world have you been, Effie?
Jack, you're awake. I thought nothing in the world would awake you.
Answer my question. Where have you been?
You used to say you slept the sleep.
Where have you been?
Please, Jack, I can understand how surprised you must be.
Answer the question.
I have never done anything like this before. It's just... Well, you see...
Yes?
Well, I felt as though I was choking. I had a desperate need for a breath of fresh air. If I had not gone outside, I really would have fainted. I stood at the door for a few minutes. I'm quite myself again. You have no need for concern.
All the time she was telling me this story, she never once looked in my direction, and her voice was quite unlike her usual tones. It was evident to me that what she was saying was false.
Did you pursue her on the point?
No. I turned my face to the wall, sick at heart. My mind filled with 1,000 venomous doubts and suspicions. All the rest of the night I tossed and tumbled, framing theory after theory, each more unlikely than the last.
And when morning came?
My wife seemed as upset as myself, and I could see from her questioning glances that she knew I disbelieved her statement and that she was at her wit's end.
Is there something wrong with your breakfast, dear?
No, nothing wrong.
But you're hardly...
I'm not hungry.
Would you like more tea?
I have to go to the city this morning.
But you haven't...
Time I was going.
Jack?
Yes?
Nothing. It was nothing.
I see.